As the early church began to come together, it, like all institutions and even families, it struggled with getting itself established and maintaining relationships, establishing relationships. There were clashes of personality. We've got historical records of that in the epistles, and particularly the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Peter didn't often send each other Christmas cards at times. They clashed. And it seems to be that as part of the human condition, that life for all of us in our relationships is not always a bed of roses. There are good days and then there are some grey days. So even in the church, this divine institution, even in the church, there have been struggles. If there were not, well, we would not be remembering Safeguarding Sunday, for example. But in my role as the Vicar General for the Archdiocese, unfortunately, I have to spend a lot of time managing those poor decisions that have been made by adults. For any of you that have been in any senior management, a lot of your work and energy and your mindset goes to supporting people resolving conflict. And quite often it comes down to a personality, sometimes more so than a particular issue. Many of us as adults can disagree on particular issues, but the way we bring that disagreement together and have the conversation, if it is not done in a respectful way and a well thought out way, well then usually it will end up in tears. There will be pain. And that was experienced in the early community. So Jesus uses a very ordinary strategy, and part of it is built into the Old Testament law. So firstly, he says, if there's an issue in the community, and there's no family in this church this morning that hasn't been touched by issues. So if there's an issue, go to the individual respectfully and talk it through. It's not easy. Most of us understand that. But that's the proper thing to do. But do it respectfully. I would also say, do it in a timely way. Don't let things bubble on and go on and on and on. It will end very badly. So try to address the issue early, which is what Jesus is saying, but do it one-to-one. If that doesn't work, then take a couple of others with you. And this is from the law of Deuteronomy. Take a couple of others with you as a witness. And then, if that doesn't work, bring the situation and the individual before the community. Now, Jesus in Matthew's Gospel is calling everybody with, he says, if you have an issue with your brother. So he means a member of the community, like we would be saying now, a member of our church community. So bring that member before the community and have the discussion. And the church has had to do that through the centuries. We do it daily sometimes. And unfortunately, that's a big part of my role, trying to resolve decisions or situations that adults behaving badly have got themselves into. So then, if the community and the church community for decision making, the highest part, the highest board there, if you like, is what we call the tribunal. It's like the law court of the church. And if you have to end up at the tribunal, it's not a happy process. It's not an easy process. And I have I've had situations in my new role where we have not been able to resolve something locally, which is the preference. You as a family, you would want to resolve your issues at home. You don't want your neighbours talking about this family that's having issues. You try to resolve it at home. And then if it gets bigger than that, what happens is people start to gossip and talk, and everybody has an opinion, and mostly it's wrong, and it adds fuel to the fire of discontent within a family. And none of us want that. So we do try to resolve it. But if we have to bring in the legal resources, well, that's unfortunate, but it's probably got to that stage because people aren't prepared to walk together and work together. And in the church's case, the tribunal, the ultimate tribunal, is what we call the Synodura in Rome. And I have a case at the moment which is going, I've got to write it and defend it. It's got to go to the Synodura because these people are behaving badly. And we have done everything that we can to resolve it in a respectful way and in a Christian way, but people are still choosing to be quite closed. And it's unfortunate that we go down that track, and even in relationships and in marriages, the only people that come ahead out of a marriage breakdown is usually a lawyer or lawyers, and everybody else around seems to get bruised along the way and broken very often. So we try to avoid that, and it was the same in the early church. So I suppose at this time we would be reflecting on our own life and be saying, well, how do I resolve these issues? Because they're usually quite personal, and there's a lot of pain there, therefore. So how do we go about it? I just give to you an insight today that most people would look over when they read that gospel. But before I do that, I'll just say that St. Augustine, who was about 340 AD, he became the Bishop of Hippo. St. Augustine was a very wise, he came to the faith late, but a very wise man when it came to management. And he was a noted bishop for the way that he looked after his priests. And he had in his bishop's house, he had a dining table, but above the dining table he had a sign that said, if you slander your brother, you are not welcome at this table. If you slander your brother, so if you slander or you curse or you bring down somebody in your family by the things that you say, you're not welcome at this table. And that's taking a little bit further than what Jesus said. Jesus said that if they do not come to the party, you can't resolve this, then he says you treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. So you've tried one-to-one, you've tried having a couple of people help you resolve it, you've tried the community, coming before the community, still no peaceful resolution. Treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. And the light that I would shine on that for you is that Jesus spent his whole adult ministry with the pagans and the tax collectors. He didn't cut them off. Even when he said, treat them like that, okay, they don't want to be part of the community now, then do as I do. He went to them. He brought himself to them. And that's very difficult to do. But that ultimately is what we're asked to do. So how can we do that? Physically, it's probably not smart to do that initially. But it is smart to at least bring the situation to God in prayer. And some people will eye roll and say, well, prayer's not going to solve this problem. No, but it'll solve you, or it will solve me, because it makes me realise that in this issue, Jesus is actually with me. Prayer isn't about changing the other person or that situation. Miracles do happen, of course. Prayer initially is about changing me so that I can support and help change that situation. If there's awful news that I've heard and I bring those people to prayer, and certainly I want the miracle to happen, but I want a miracle to happen with me firstly so that I can be the presence of Jesus in that situation. And I can take that out of this community. I can take it to the pagan and to the tax collectors, as it were. I can do that. And then I know that I can return safely to my community, to you people. And you can say, I've got my family with me. But if I remove myself from that, then I'm really flying alone. And that's very, very dangerous territory, because we don't feel or experience the presence of God there. So I would just say to you that in the issues, the challenges that we have in our relationships, be they work or family or neighbourhood, be whatever they are, be patient, be respectful. Go through a process that puts the spotlight on what the situation is, not what the individual is. I always say, look at the issue, not the individual. And remember that the starting point for us as Christians has always got to be prayer. I need the reassurance of knowing that Jesus is actually with me, because then I can take his peacefulness, his presence, to wherever I have to go, into pagan territory or tax collectors' offices. I can do that because I actually believe truly in my heart of hearts that Jesus would not abandon me. We had a saying in the 80s, if I feel that God is a long way away, well, guess who moved?